Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you all for tuning in. Just to hear a little bit about what God gave me on prayer. I've been doing some writing for this is the fifth week. Been doing some writing for a group that I'm a part of called WOW. WOW stands for Women of Worship, and we are based out of Brunswick, and our visionary is Prophetess Paula Outlaw. Awesome young lady there, on fire for God, and she has a tendency to set others on fire for God, and kind of helps them to learn to lead other women and lead in their ministries for God. So I just thank her right now for the opportunity to write for her website, and I just thank God for her. Let's see, the very first post that I wrote about prayer, I gave a definition. Prayer is a devout petition to God, a spiritual communion with God, as in supplication, thanksgiving, adoration, or confession. It is also the act or practice of praying to God, petition, it's an entreaty. Those are all the definitions of prayer, but put in the simplest terms, prayer is talking to God. And there are times in life when some of us are truly unsure of how to pray. We are confused about what to pray for. And sometimes we're even under the impression that God will not hear or answer our prayers because we are unworthy. Now, Romans 3:23 lets us know that we have all sinned and we have all come short of the glory of God. But because God is loving, compassionate, patient, and he desires a relationship with us, he hears and answers our prayers, even in the midst of the mess we often make of our lives, too, is a prayer of the afflicted. When the afflicted one was overwhelmed and just pouring out his complaint to the Lord. And in that 17th verse, it lets us know that God does not despise the prayers of those who are in one of life's messes. God hears the prayers of those suffering due to barrenness, according to Luke 1:13. He hears the prayers of those who are afraid, according to Psalms 34:4. Those who are afflicted because they decided to run from him, he hears those prayers as well, according to Jonah 2:2. Prayer is just opening your heart to God. When you make the decision to talk to him, to truly seek him, be it aloud or quietly in your spirit, God is right there. And read Psalms 145:18 to get verification on that. Now, when you're experiencing something that is so painful that you can't even form the words in your spirit or aloud, God is still there. He is still listening to you. He can still hear you. And even though you are not forming the words that express your need, he knows it, and he remembers his promises to you. Exodus chapter 2, the 24th verse. And also Exodus chapter 3, the 7th verse, and Romans 8, the 8th chapter, and the 26th verse. Communication is the key to a successful relationship with anybody. So just think of what would happen if a parent, say, did not communicate the consequences of playing with fire to their child and then proceeded to leave matches and lighters all over the house. What do you think would happen? I think there's going to be a fire. And what about a boss who does not communicate policies and procedures to a new employee? Think about what could happen in those situations and what may have already happened in situations where there's a lack of communication on your job. Consider what your city would be like if law enforcement and government officials did not communicate laws to the public. It would be absolute chaos. I mean, we have chaos now in some cities, but it's not nearly as bad as it would be if there were no laws or if there were laws that were not communicated. Now, think about the people who have been married for 20 plus years and they attribute their success to communication. Think of your relationship with the person you're closest to. Did it get to be as strong as it is today because the two of you never spent time together? Or you spent time together in silence? You grew close to that person by spending time with them and by communicating with them. That person may not know your deepest secrets. They may not know all of your secrets, but you have a close relationship anyway because of what you have shared, because the communication that there has been with that person. And on the other hand, silence breeds separation. Think about people who are continuously abused because they keep silent. Friendships that fade away due to a lack of communication. Lives that are lost because someone felt they had nobody to talk to. Silence breeds separation, a separation from things that you need in your life, a separation from encouragement, separation from assistance. Separation from breeds separation, so we have to communicate. If communicating in the natural is that important, how much more important is it to communicate with God? If talking to a friend has the power to mend a broken friendship, how much power does talking to God have on mending a broken spirit? And if confessing to man that you're being abused and you need help to get out of a situation, confessing that same thing to God will get you out of that situation and it will heal your innermost wound, as well as giving both you and your abuser powerful testimony. Prayer is It's another gift that God has given us. He's given us so much, but prayer is that just special, special gift that He has given us. Prayer is how we communicate with Him. It is the most powerful tool that we have available to us in any situation. Through prayer, we gain strength, comfort, forgiveness, wisdom, and we gain direction from prayer. It can be done by parting your lips. You can pray with the parting of your lips and just allowing those words to spill out. It can be done through your thoughts. Prayer can take place through your tears. You can pray on your knees or while lying on your face, prostrate before the Lord. You can pray while standing at an altar, in your car, in the shower. You can get in the closet and pray. You can pray in your classroom, in spite of what the administration may say. You don't have to do it out loud and, just boldly being defiant, but you can still pray in a classroom. You can pray with your hands clasped together or your palms up to the sky. Prayer keeps us close to God. The more we talk to Him in prayer, the more intimate our relationship with Him becomes, and the tighter He wraps His arms around us. So, praying is important. It's important for us to pray earnestly, to pray fervently, to pray often. And if you have a moment, and you should, because you're listening to me and I'm not that important, pray right now because there's no guarantee that you'll be given a next breath. there's no guarantee that, when you turn off your internet or you hang up your phone and you're done listening to me, that you'll have the rest of the day to take a moment and commune with God. And there is no greater place to be than in the bosom of the great I am, and that is where you are when you're talking to him. And we go to God in prayer for ourselves, or we should, but there's another type of prayer. It's intercessory prayer that is also important. So we know now that talking to God is praying, or praying is, just simply talking to God. But, we have to pray to him on behalf of other people. We have to say prayers of thanksgiving. We have to say prayers of repentance. Just saying, Lord, I thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die on that cross just for me. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your forgiveness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And, that's just a little simple and quick prayer of thanksgiving. A prayer where all you do is just give thanks to God. It can take 5 or 10 seconds. It could take 5 or 10 minutes. But if you have never said a prayer of thanksgiving, I encourage you to do so soon and often. Just thank God for every good thing that has occurred in your life, to include forgiveness and salvation, but don't stop there. James chapter 1, verse 2 says that even when you fall into temptation, you should count it all joy. Thank God for the messes or the difficult situations you find yourself in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says that it is God's will for us to give thanks in everything. And so does Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. When you're done thanking God for all the good, press forward in prayer and just thank him for your troubles, but thank him genuinely, faithfully. Thank him knowing that he is there with you in your darkest hour. It says that in Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. And he turns the things that came to harm you and to set you back into something that will help you and thrust you forward at the appropriate time. I want you to read Genesis 50 and 20. Genesis, the 50th chapter, the 20th verse. I also want you to read Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 28th verse. The more that you thank God in prayer, even for your trials and tribulations, the more he will bless you with peace. And you will find that when trials come in the future, they don't bother you as much, if at all. See verse Philippians chapter 4, read verses 6 through 7. Pick up your Bible, read Psalm chapter 119, verse 165. When you are feeling weak, lonely, depressed, or afraid, you begin to thank God. Even if you can't say too many words in that moment, just imagine yourself on the other side of what you're going through and begin to thank him over and over and over again. You will begin to feel a change in your spirit. And you may shed tears, but you will receive joy for them all. When you thank God for the good in your life, you're showing him gratitude. And you're showing him that you are fully aware that every good and perfect gift comes from him. And that's found in James, first chapter, the 17th verse. When you thank him for the bad things that are occurring in your life, though, you're showing him that you have faith in him and faith in his perfect will for your life. In turn, you are aligning yourself faithfully with his will. You want to be lined up with God's will. So thank him even for the things that you're going through. And don't think that it's God, that God is allowing these bad things and that God is causing these bad things just to, God is making bad things happen because he wants to test your faith or your strength, or he wants to strengthen you. No. God does not cause the bad things in our life, but God does cause us to see the good in every situation. God allows us to pull strength from every situation. God allows us to be healed from every situation. God allows us to be forgiven for every situation. God allows us to have peace no matter what we're going through. All we have to do is have faith and stay in his will. Pray. And, when we are doing things that are outside of God's will, we need to say those prayers of repentance. And it's more than just, saying, I'm sorry. As children, we're forced to say I'm sorry to a sibling or a classmate that we've hurt with physical actions or with our words. During our teen years, we say I'm sorry and I won't do it again to our parents, and we say it repeatedly. When we arrive at adulthood, we say I'm sorry to our children, to those we work for or with, and we say I'm sorry to our significant other. But most of the time, a child forced doesn't mean it, and a teenager will definitely do it again. And adults are just tired of not getting it right. I'm sorry is oftentimes said after coercion or in hope of reducing the harshness of a consequence. Other times, I'm sorry is said out of exasperation or pity for ourselves or for others. But the most meaningful I'm sorry is the one that is said out of love. When we go to God in prayer, repentance, we should be going to him saying, I'm sorry, Lord, because we love him, because we don't want to disappoint him, because we want to be pleasing to him. You see, when you love the person you have wronged, I'm sorry should encompass so much more than just those two little words. It should also contain a change of your mindset, a change in the way that your heart is. A change in your actions, your words, your intentions, and a change in the path you will walk down in the future. Some Christians have conflicting views on repentance. Some believe saying I'm sorry is enough as long as we really mean it. Some feel that physical punishment is required. They actually beat themselves and harm themselves. Some feel that effort must be made to turn away from the thing being repented of, and some are even confused in thinking that with reparation comes forgiveness, instead of knowing that repentance and forgiveness and excuse me, and the forgiveness that follows repentance, they are gifts of God's grace. You see, I said God gives us many, many gifts. We don't always realize them all, but they're there for us. He has them laid out for us. We just have to go and open them. No matter what view you hold or what definition you find, the fact is that repentance is important to God. Repentance is important to him. Prayer is important to him. Your faith is important to him. Luke 13th chapter, the 3rd verse, perish if you do not repent. So repenting is very, is just detrimental. I encourage you to get into your Bible and just read more about repentance. Speak to your pastor or minister at your church. And just find out just how important repentance is. And, pray for that repentance. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. We find that sure in James, the 5th verse. Excuse me, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. And we quote that part of scripture often, and at times we do so thinking about the present. But, what about those righteous grandparents of ours, or of yours, the ones who prayed over you in the womb? What about those righteous parents who prayed over you night after night while you slept? Those prayers, those intercessory prayers, they kept you from hurt, harm, and danger that you were not even aware of. Those intercessory prayers, they're what healed you when it seemed like you were on your deathbed. It was prayers of intercession that blessed you with favor in unfavorable situations. Prayers that were prayed over you, for you, about you all those years ago are still carrying you and covering you today. I challenge you to get a concordance if you don't already have one. Get a concordance and then get that concordance and get your Bible and get seated somewhere in a quiet place. And you read all the scriptures about intercessory prayer. Look up words like intercession, intercede, and intercessory. Read what the Word of God has to say about praying for other people, and it should help you to see just how important it is. Going to God on behalf of another person is good for you as well as the person that you're praying for. And remember, prayer is still simply talking to God, but when you lay down the needs of your life and pick up those of someone else's, you begin to mature and be perfected in Christ. Your prayer life grows and your faith is made even stronger. Know that even though prayer is still as simple as opening your mouth, knowing what to say on someone else's behalf is more difficult. You may not know a person's specific needs, but if you pray for them in the Spirit, God will acknowledge and do a work in that person for each and every word you are sending up in their behalf. If you're not yet at the point in your life where you're praying in the spirit or in tongues, as it's also known or referred to, then just begin to talk to God about that person. And the Holy Spirit will put the words in you to say to God. The needs, hurts, and struggles of that person will be revealed to you as you are praying. And you may even experience some of that person's pain as you're praying. But count it all joy and continue to press forward. Don't stop praying because that person's breakthrough just may be hinged on your selfless prayer. Our salvation, yours, mine, everyone's, all of our salvation is based on the fact that Jesus, God's precious, perfect, and holy Son, interceded for us. He is the greatest example we have on how to go to God on someone else's behalf. He, Jesus, felt our pain. He experienced our struggles. He lived in flesh. He cried, he laughed, and he loved. Hallelujah. In his darkest hour, in the hour he had to have been in pain, pain that we can only imagine. I mean, do you remember reading all that they did to him? Having his beard ripped off, having his flesh ripped off. Think about that. That's pain. That's pain. But he unselfishly interceded through prayer before interceding through the sacrifice of his life. Hallelujah. He prayed for those men there on that cross with him. He prayed for the ones that were crucifying him. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So we are to not only pray for ourselves, but we are to pray for the nameless faces that we cross paths with. I mean, because if we're to pray without ceasing and we're always praying for ourselves, that's a little vain or a little, it's just wrong. We're to pray for those people whose names we may never know. We're to pray for our leaders, for our congregation, for our family, our friends, and our enemies. Pray for the lost, for ministries, for the sick, and for the sinners. Intercessory prayer in its purest form is not a prayer we say because we will in some way be benefited. We don't pray for little Johnny to behave in school because, oh, we tired of getting off our job and going down to that school. No. We pray prayers of intercession that address only the need of that individual. And it is said, it's a prayer that's said in love for one of God's sheep. It is a prayer that causes us to stop in our tracks, no matter how inconvenient. And we go to war on someone else's behalf. The prayers of the righteous do avail us much. The prayers of a Christian are highly valuable. Your prayers will be used to bring about change, to keep somebody safe, to heal, to break generational curses, hallelujah, to strengthen a man or a woman of God, hallelujah, to bring favor to someone you will never have the opportunity to meet, glory to God. Your intercessory prayers, your selflessness, your willingness to be used by God will raise up the next generation of warriors in the army of the Lord, hallelujah. Your prayers will fall upon God's ears and create such a shift in someone's life that Satan will attack you. He will, so get ready. He knows all about the power of intercessory prayer, and he will attack you. He's going to come after you so hard and for so long that you will begin for just a moment to feel defeated. But guess what? Those intercessory prayers that were said on your behalf will bless you at the right moment to know that the battle is already won. Victory is yours in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all, and thank you so much for listening.